From the Firebird Radio Studio, it's the Authors on Fire podcast with nationally syndicated radio host and producer, Pat Rulo.
Welcome to the Authors on Fire podcast, part of Speak Up Talk Radio's many services, home to the International Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards Hall of Fame, and our newest book song, where we create a musical masterpiece to highlight your book. I am Pat Rulo. Today, I have quite an interesting author to share with you, Kathy Frank. Kathy has been on a lifelong journey of spiritual exploration. She became a yoga teacher in 2012, and since 2014 has been studying tantric japa yoga under the guidance of her guru, Shejesh. Her first book, Tantric Japa Yoga, offers an introduction to the practices she has been learning and continues to deepen. Through this work, she hopes to lay the foundation for those who wish to better understand the world of tantric spirituality. I am so looking forward to learning. Welcome to the Authors on Fire podcast, Kathy.
Pat, I'm so glad to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy you are here. I don't recall that I've had anyone talking about this particular subject. So it's new for our listeners. And I know a little bit about it, but I'm sure I'm going to be enlightened today by you. So I'm looking forward to this.
And it is new, too, because this is the first time these practices have been revealed in a public format like this. Shejesh teaches them individually as lessons to individual students, but I guess it's important to say he gave me the go-ahead to put the first two lessons in this book.
Oh, interesting. Oh, all right. Well, so this is new. This is excellent. Maybe explain, what is Tantra Japa Yoga? Yeah, just for those who are listening who may not have a clue.
Yeah, sure. Well, japa just means repeating the mantra. And the mantra is some Sanskrit words, often with the vibrating M. That vibrating M vibrates in the top of the head and stimulates that crown chakra and stuff up in the head there that is of feel-good stuff. And tantric is the way that we're going to do the chanting. Tantric is going to be focusing on the energy and the chakras and adding that dimension to the chanting. And then yoga is the science of merging the mundane with the spiritual and the earthly with the divine. And so it comes all together that we're going to be chanting in a tantric way, focusing on the energy and the chakras in order to bring around these higher states of consciousness. And also it's just relaxing and it clears the mind.
Mm-hmm. What first drew you to the path of tantric japa yoga, and how did you come to study with your guru?
Well, Pat, I was a yoga teacher for a couple of years when I met Shejesh online in a Facebook group and in a yoga group. And I guess I just felt curious. He asked me if I wanted to study tantric japa yoga, and I just said sure. I knew he was a tantric guru. I didn't know what tantric japa yoga was. And then he gave me the first assignment, which is chanting Om Namah Shivaya, but it's got some extra things that you do while you're chanting that make it the tantric chanting, and that focuses on the energy and the chakras. And I was hooked right away. The first time I tried it, I felt refreshed, mentally refreshed from chanting, and that's the whole goal.
What made you decide to write a book? And I know that this is kind of part memoir and part teaching. Why did you choose that kind of hybrid style instead of a purely instructional manual?
Well, I always liked the book by Jack Kerouac, On the Road, and I liked his easy conversational style in there. He just talked about his summertime adventures, and I wanted to be the same way about some of these topics, which, excuse me, are often treated in a very academic way, in a way that I wanted to open it up to the average person like myself. And who's not coming at it from that academic point of view.
I think that was very wise of you, because then you would have a very limited audience of only those who wanted that instructional type of a manual. This way you're entertaining really while teaching at the same time. So I think that was a smart choice.
Yeah, I wanted it to be interesting to the average person who may not want to take up a chanting practice, but might be curious about another culture. And it's very relevant. It might sound foreign and archaic, like it's something vastly different because it has these different words and names. But really, the amazing part to me is how relevant it is to modern culture and some of the overlap with the psychology. And yeah, it's definitely relevant to us today because we all need to refresh our mind.
Absolutely. That is the truth. I know most folks are somewhat familiar with the yoga systems, such as the Kundalini yoga or the traditional mantra meditations. Maybe go into a little bit more detail about how tantric japa yoga differs from those.
Well, tantric japa yoga is a whole system. It's not just one mantra. It does consistently involve chanting in Sanskrit, and it starts with individual mantras, but it grows. I have a practice, and I practice it for about 45 days, and then I get a new practice. And it started very simple. It starts very simple, and it builds. And the first two practices are really enough to keep a person going through their whole life if you wanted to stay with those practices. But the appeal is that as you continue and take more and more lessons, the story is unfolding more and more, the story of tantric spirituality.
Mm-hmm. So maybe walk us through what a beginner's tantric japa yoga practice might look like.
Well, like I said, it's the first lesson is chanting Om Namah Shivaya, but we do it while we're focusing on chakras, on the brow chakra for that chanting practice. And we have a special ways of focusing on the energy. And Tantra is very concerned with the vibration, and that vibration is very sacred. Because in Tantra, we have consciousness and energy. And what is believed about that is that initially consciousness was like passive awareness, inert. And initially energy was like static energy, just potential energy. And at some point, energy stirred in consciousness, and that created this first vibration, which is a very sacred in tantric cosmology. From that first vibration, the whole cosmos evolved through the Om vibration. So we do focus on the vibration when we're chanting. It's an opportunity to bring the attention within and start to focus on that level.
Just thinking about chanting, that adds a whole secondary dimension to a practice, because, you know, typically in yoga practice, you're not doing that. So I find that fascinating that there's another layer to this.
I find it it's my favorite form of meditation right now. I like silence and listening to the silence and being in nature. But there's something about the chanting, because it is very physical. If you feel the Om vibration, it goes physically through our body, not just the Om vibration, but all the vibrations. And the Sanskrit focuses a lot on that vibrating M that vibrates in the top of the head. The O vibrates in the heart. So we're getting work on our chakras, and not just our chakras, but physical aspects to our body. We're stimulating the cerebrospinal fluid flow, vibrating our vagus nerves. Things that are beneficial for our vitality.
Mm-hmm. I think this would be quite appealing to people who want to consider meditation, but find it difficult to do, especially in the beginning where you sit there and you're trying to be quiet and settle your mind, and your mind just racing all over. And I think a lot of people just give up and say, you know what, I can't sit here and do this because now I'm thinking about what I'm supposed to do today or what I didn't do yesterday. And so the physicality of chanting, I think, could bring more people to the practice.
Yeah, and it's important to know too that there's limits on this. It's just an X amount of time per day. So initially, you're just chanting 20 minutes per day, and maybe a little breathing exercises along with that. And as it goes on, what keeps the mind engaged is that the practices do evolve. Let's just say you have one mantra and you chant that your whole life. It's not that you can't continue with that, but it becomes common, and it's maybe harder to anchor the mind, maybe easier in some ways, but maybe harder. So when you get the next assignment and it's something different, it refocuses the mind. It gives you something to hang on to, and it does help. I have a very chattery mind, and the japa really helps me still my mind.
You emphasize that the practices grow with the student. So, how might a modern practitioner integrate these teachings into daily life without feeling overwhelmed?
Well, the practices come every 45 days if you want them to. However, anybody could take as long as they want with the first phase. As a matter of fact, some people might carry that one mantra with them through their whole life. So if a person's very busy and they're comfortable staying with that first phase, they could stay with that for the whole year or as long as they like. And then when they're ready, they can come back and start with phase two and increase it. The thing is the longer you do it, the easier it gets. So it's not going to take you as long to do it at the end. And even if you're chanting Om Namah Shivaya, at the end you might start finding yourself chanting faster. So then adding a more complicated mantra like Gayatri mantra can really give the mind something to do to keep it grounded into the practices so the mind doesn't start to wander.
So it really does grow with the student as the student.
Yes,
Yes, that makes
and
sense.
it's not just that there's a mantra and to chant, but there's a story with every mantra. We're not supposed to think about it while we are chanting, but it does give us food for thought, something to think about, things to explore about tantric spirituality, because there are themes in the little
Interesting.
stories and the mantras and things.
Would this be someone that one could easily or readily pick up on their own, or do they really need somebody as yourself or as you had your guru? Do you
Well,
need someone to assist with this?
you know, Pat, people take, in this day and age, people take, and I've done it myself, take mantras off the internet and chant a little bit here, a little bit there, even with greater discipline. And that's always possible. It is a good idea to work with a guru if you're doing practices that are stimulating energy. And the thing about this practice is it's designed to build slowly. So, I think it's good. The thing is Shejesh gives me the assignment, and it's hard to fathom, but if you really are going every 45 days and taking a new assignment, it's hard to fathom how far this could go and how beautiful and elaborate some of the assignments can be. And it doesn't take the whole day. Like right now, I'm doing about 35 minutes of practice a day. And, yeah, it's good. It keeps you going on multiple levels.
You mentioned previously about our hectic lifestyle, and you add digital to the lifestyle aspect of it. How or what role do you see in this playing for people who are seeking balance in today's hectic world?
Well, we don't want to stop doing any of the things we love. I still listen to music on the radio. My husband loves to play guitar along with, and I like to sing along. And, you know, we all have the thing. The thing about Tantra is that it's designed for the average person. It's designed for what is called in Tantra the householder. That's us. That's the average person who has a job, maybe a family and kids and friends and a normal Western lifestyle. It's designed for us. We don't have to go away from the world and isolate and become a monk. We can just be a regular person and do a little chanting every day. And it's like taking a shower and, you know, brushing our teeth or just, it's doing it to our brain, though, our brain and our emotions. It's just getting all the static out, you know. And coming up refreshed. So it's not like setting anything aside permanently. We just take maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes a day and give the mind a break, a reset, like hit the reset button and refresh and come back at it fresh again.
Right. I know for me personally, I take many breaks throughout the day and I go outside and walk along the river or walk under the pine trees. And that just kind of brings you back and centers you.
Yes, nature's very healthy, and somebody can even go out and sit if you want to sit by the river and chant. But yeah, just going out in nature is a very healthy healing practice. I'm with you on that. That's very, it's its own thing. It's good.
Really is. It is. But for those who maybe don't have that, they're really working a 9 to 5 and come home and have family and just don't have the opportunity to run out of the building and take a walk. If they can find some time throughout their day, maybe first thing in the morning or the end of the evening, and work on this practice, I think that would go a long way.
It's refreshing. Yes, it's very refreshing. Sometimes I find I've learned that I feel tired, like almost like I don't want to chant because I feel too tired to chant. And those are the days that I need it the most because I sit down to chant and it feels heavy, like I'm carrying this heavy load just to make the sounds. And by the end, I notice I start to feel more and more energized as I go along. And by the end, I'm feeling refreshed.
So you too, sometimes there's moments of resistance along your journey.
Definitely.
Yeah, but chanting can help you move through them.
Yeah.
For someone who's hearing about this for the very first time in our conversation today, what's one simple step they could take to begin exploring it?
Well, you could always start with the Om vibration. It's very simple, and many of the Hindu scriptures do say that you can get there to what they call moksha or liberation, and with just chanting Om. And Om vibration, you can practice this. You can bring one hand on the heart and one hand on the crown on the top of the head, and just chant a nice, relaxed Om. Oh. And feel what happens with the vibration. The M tends to vibrate in the top of the head. The O tends to vibrate more in the chest. So you can feel that. You don't have to keep your hands on the head while you chant, but it's something you can try to show yourself that that really is, it's not just m mysticism. There's physical vibrations happening that are affecting us that are real. And the Om is so easy to chant. You can do it while you're going about cleaning the kitchen. You can just start chanting Om. Sometimes if I have a hard time getting moving, getting my housework done, I just start chanting, and I don't know why. It just helps me get into it. I just start moving. Before I know it, I'm getting everything done, and it helps me get out of my own way.
Well, everything you're saying is so necessary, I would think, for anybody. It's hard sometimes to get out of your own way and get out of your head and feel enthused. And this just seems like a wonderful, as you say, refreshing practice. And so your book can really help, I think, ignite the interest.
Yeah, and it starts to stimulate the energy in the body, the prana, and starts to be activated and go through the chakras. And then this is good for us too. It helps us stay on the path and keep evolving.
So, for those who get a copy of your book and read it, what do you hope that they'll carry with them after finishing reading the book?
Well, naturally, I'd always be excited to know if somebody took up the practices because I think it's absolutely beautiful the way they unfold and tell a story as they go. And also, I would just hope that even if somebody doesn't want to do the practices, they catch a glimpse into another culture and they can see how it is meaningful because I talk about some of the spirituality, some of the meanings of some of the symbols and the deities. And I think it isn't as foreign as it sounds just on the surface. It feels familiar as a way of thinking in terms of feeling not weird, but yeah, like it could make sense. And I think it's nice to look at a culture that's a little bit ancient, and some of these practices, some of the spirituality is falling away right now, and people are trying to keep it alive. So even if just somebody wants to look at it and see what was going on in these cultures thousands of years ago, and what beautiful practices they had to help themselves stay mentally and emotionally connected and refreshed and, thriving in their day.
How else can people best work with you?
Well, I have a website if anybody wants to reach out to me. I have a website. It's riorancho.yoga.com. And I have a book page up there if you want to check on there. There's links that goes through to Shay Jesh's page as well. His endorsement of my book is up there, and the link is there that goes to Amazon. Pretty soon it'll be up on Exotic India, which is, I feel that's kind of an endorsement because they have a very serious book collection. And then yeah, I have online yoga classes too, if anybody wants to join in on us there, just physical yoga, moving around. And if anybody did, get the book and wanted to go further on, I can give the lessons to individuals, yeah, but it's an individual practice, so.
Right. What was the website again?
RioRanchoYoga.com.
Right.
That's Rio Rancho is a suburb of Albuquerque here. I'm in New Mexico.
I know it well. I know it well. I used to have an American Indian art gallery, a Native American art gallery in Ohio and in
Wow.
Pennsylvania. So I spent a lot of time out in that area, out on the reservations, and I had one gal who lived in Rio Rancho and just made the most fabulous long beaded earrings. Her name was
Wow.
Sharon Paquin. And I remember once I met with her actually at a hotel in Albuquerque, and she had brought all of her earrings. And I happened to just love the earrings she was wearing. And I said to her, "Oh my gosh, your earrings are just fabulous." And she took them off and she said, "Well, here, you can have them."
We had a Native American jeweler who was actually written up in the Smithsonian, just two houses away from us. And my daughter was friends with his daughter when they were growing up, so she got to visit the reservation sometimes with her friend. And yeah, the culture, that's great that you had a art shop. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Oh, it was so wonderful. I loved my trips out to New Mexico. We almost moved there. Came very, very close to moving out there. The Santa Fe area, Taos. I just love it. It just the energy there. It's the perfect place to do what it is that you're doing. Just the spirituality of the air even is just something special. The light.
Yes, I know what you mean. The sunlight. We have such a bright light here.
Yep.
Yeah, and blue skies. I don't know if the skies are this blue anywhere else.
I don't think so. Those New Mexico skies were just stunning. And oh, now I'm getting nostalgic here. I loved it there so much. Well, if you could sum up the heart of Tantric Japa Yoga, what would it be?
Well, Om Namah Shivaya is the first and the simplest, but in a way that really sums it up, because even when there's a lot of goddess mantras and there's a lot to do with Shakti, but we start with Shiva because Shiva is consciousness, and that's what we always go back to. There's a saying in one of the practices that I have now that the goddess is our future because she's always creating more and more. And Shiva is consciousness. He's our past because it's what we have, what we know, and it's what's already behind us. And Shiva is what we go back to when we sleep at night. We go back to that pure consciousness and we recharge there in our sleep. And so I think Om Namah Shivaya probably sums it all up. Yeah.
Well, as we begin to wrap up, anything we missed that you wanted to highlight today?
Yeah, I think I'd like to throw in that I'm a very eclectic person. I've been studying this and that my whole life, and it's not like joining something where you have to give up everything else. You can still keep your own life. If you have other spiritual practices that you do, you can blend it. and make it fit in. You can treat it as a philosophy if you prefer, or as a religion, as maybe it's perhaps intended, or a system of practices. And yeah, just have fun with it, or just look into it.
I like that you said that so that people don't feel confined to say, oh, well, I already do this, so I can't do that. This blends in very well, however you want to make it work for you and your particular situation.
Yeah, and that's what the tantrics are all about anyways. The tantrics are all about freedom. And they were all people who read the Vedas back in the beginning, and they wanted to make their own changes. So the tantrics are always pretty change positive, and they're all about freedom and what the individual is expressing.
Well, thank you for sharing this today. We're talking with Kathy Frank. The book is titled Tantric Japa Yoga. The website, riorancho.yoga.com. Kathy, this has been really interesting for me. I'm going to have to look into this a little bit more and see how I can, as you say, blend this into my daily practices. And I hope that those listening will do the same. So I so appreciate your taking the time to spend with me and our listeners to share this.
I appreciate being here, Pat, and I've really enjoyed it. Thank you for having me on.